Here we go on a Misery Monday. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, and we're talking to you on a Tell the Truth Monday in just 30 minutes. However, we get started on a Monday after the Commanders play with my analysis of the game. Time to cue it up. It's time for First and 10.
It's time to get the breakdown started. 1, 2, 3, 4. First up, 10 observations. It's first and 10. Number 1.
We are going to have to multitask this year, which I realize is something that is really much more my job than it is your job as a fan. You don't have a job as a fan. You root, you're emotional, you're invested. That's why we care about sports. We love sports because it lets us ride this roller coaster. And there's only so much real consequence on our lives. Obviously, there's tremendous consequences for, say, Kate York, who no longer has a job. In case you're just tuning in, he got cut this afternoon. But in the end of the day, if I'm going to try to be smart with my analysis, I'm going to have to do two things. I'm going to have to evaluate each game as it comes, and I'm also going to have to try to give some context on the bigger picture of what is happening in the rebuild. Is there anything that gives us pause? Is there anything that makes us go, whoa, okay, hold on. We're directing ourselves towards some kind of North Star, and it seems like we're off a few degrees. And truth be told, in the honor of Tell the Truth Monday, yesterday's game isn't really positive in either. In the context of the game, it was worse than I thought the game would be. In the context of the rebuild, it was a really bad start. Because the stated short-term goal is to establish a play style, to play fast, to play physical, to not have the kinds of communication issues that have plagued, say, the secondary and other parts of these teams or this franchise and its football teams for a long time. And they failed on a lot of those fronts yesterday. However, I think it's important context to say that Dan Quinn knows that. He's not going to lie to himself about it in the way that previous coaches and executives here and even owners have. And they're going to get back to work to fix it. And so I think that we have to, again, multitasking is going to be something that we have to do a lot this year. That does not mean in my saying like, hey, there's no reason to freak out about the long-term direction to get your, hey, Josh Harris needs to sell the team. Adam Peters needs to get fired signs out. That would be utterly ridiculous. It's been one game. But that game was not good, and it was not good because they didn't do one of the biggest things that they claim to preach.
Number 2.
They have finished Fridays in Ashburn. They didn't have a finish Sunday. The third down defense was, can I say, I think I can say this. I'm gonna put up this on the screen on YouTube. And I'll say a previous or an alternate version. We're looking at the right there part. I don't know if people can read that, but it says the third down defense was booty. That's how we're going to describe that. You simply cannot exist in a world where you force that many third downs and then give up that many. All in all, there were 15 total plays that were run. There were 17 third down scenarios. There were a couple of penalties, so a couple of those plays get wiped off. By the NFL's NFL Pro website, I got 9 of 15 were 3rd and 6+. Most of those were converted. It wasn't good. And they did it in all kinds of ways. It was bad execution. It was poor discipline. There was poor discipline in terms of play style and coverage. There was poor discipline on the first third down of the game. They get a stop. And there's okay enough coverage. Like Forbes does enough to make it a difficult throw. Baker outruns or outthrows McMillan. A great throw. It's maybe a touchdown, so not exactly perfect. But none of it matters because Cleveland Furl gets an illegal use of hands because he gets up underneath dude's face mask and chucks him in the chin. Later, you got a too many men penalty. It would have been 3rd and 11. It's 3rd and 6 instead. And then Mike Sanders still gets lost in traffic and they get a conversion because it's a lot easier to run that route concept on 3rd and 6 versus 3rd and 11. Not finishing in terms of pressures. And like, yes, there's issues in coverage, but there's a lot of this where they're asking the coverage based off the amount of blitzers and pressures coming to hold up for, 2.5 seconds. And hey, we're going to get home. They did not. John Allen missed a couple of different sacks. Daron Payne had a couple of potential opportunities. Frankie Louvu had at least one off the top of my head. Bobby Wagner, I believe, had an opportunity at one point to get a sack or to get a pressure and couldn't finish. So it's just a lot of lack of discipline, lack of execution, and it comes in a game situation that you just need to be straight up better if you have any remote chance of winning in this league. And it's actually why I appreciate what Dan Quinn said after the game, because he was asked about discipline, because he had said last week, like, oh, if we're the more disciplined team, we're going to win. And someone was like, well, you had the equal number of penalties and you had no turnovers, which was the equal. So did you think you were the more disciplined team? And Dan was like, no.
Yeah, discipline will win it, right? That is what I said. I thought it probably goes further than that. Discipline can also mean holding the right leverage, you know, in a coverage. It can mean, the right gap sound. So I'd say it can probably expand bigger. But sometimes one thing compounds the next. And so when the time of possession, for instance, is that out of whack, I think that's directly correlated to third down. And they were probably close to 70%, and we were about 25%. So that's, it wasn't like one team just controlled the ball on first and second down. Third down was a big part of this. So I didn't feel we were, out of whack of penalties. We had one that looked bad, blocking back towards the goal line on the long play. But it probably goes deeper than just, penalties and that, probably the whole thing through.
By the way, that penalty on Olamide Zaccheaus, the crackback block or whatever they called, that call sucked. That call was terrible. That call was so soft, so weak. He barely touched him, and they were well out of the play at that point. Anyway, that's not the point. I should be more disciplined and stick to the talking points. The point is, they didn't finish yesterday, especially defensively. And within the context of that game, more than anything else, and we'll talk more about Jaden, and we'll talk about BSJ, and we'll talk about Forbes, and we'll talk about all the individual guys and some of the other stuff as we roll on here in 1st and 10. But number one, we have to multitask. Two, within the context of yesterday's game, finishing and the lack thereof, specifically on third down, is the absolute biggest thing. However, before we get into some of the other stuff from the game, I do want to say this.
Number three.
I have not lost 1 ounce of faith in the plan because I still trust the people in charge. And I realize for a lot of you today, you're like, that looked like everything I've seen before. And boy, let me tell you, it sure did. Your eyes were not lying to you. But what did change, what was different than the Rivera era, what's different than the Bruce Allen era, is what happens next, what happens after the game. It's not a mopey Jay Gruden at the podium being like, oh man, I can't believe, or he just is like looking at the play sheet being like, these plays work on paper, why can't I get anybody to execute them? It's not the Ron Rivera thing where he's chasing a million narratives and doing whatever the heck he did at post-game press conferences. It's Dan Quinn getting up there and being like, yeah, that wasn't very good. And there's a lot of lessons to take out of these games and this game. And if we do not take those lessons, then this wasn't worth it. If it is, or if we do take those lessons, then we can look back on this as a point of growth. It's that kind of mentality that actually rallies a building together that makes you able to string together good performances over time. This team is tremendously undermanned. And I think that was on full display yesterday in areas that we're going to talk about, some of which we knew. And by the way, that's the other part of this. I cannot tell you on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday going into a game, hey, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, it could all be bad. And then all those three things happen, and then me get in here on a Monday and go, oh my God, how did that happen? We know how it happened. So why am I going to sit here and pretend otherwise for shock value or whatever the heck other people do when, I'm not saying on our station or on the fan or whatever, but we know it happens. And maybe it even happens here sometimes. But I'm not going to do that. That's not my show. That's not me. That's not how I do this. This is going to require patience and discipline. That doesn't mean that they get a pass for everything. We're going to hit on all of those things that don't get a pass next. But it does mean some stuff we're just going to say is bad, acknowledge it, shrug, and move on. Because realistically, this is a team with some off-season problems because it was impossible to fix everything that was wrong with this roster in one off-season, which is all this group has had. We get into Emmanuel Forbes, Benjamin St. Juice, Jaden Daniels, and some other really important things that they've got to clean up from yesterday. Next, we continue our first and 10 on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We are going to need those YouTube comments, the comments section here in just a little bit, as well as your phone calls at 301-230-0980, because we're going to do our first edition of Tell the Truth Monday, where you get to call in and tell what you think the truth is about the game. And we're going to get into some of that from me right now. Less big picture, more focused on this game as we continue our first and 10.
Number four.
In the short term, yesterday, we saw a lot of what I would expect in a Washington-Tampa game in week one. And this is where, like, talking about the short term and the long term run headlong into each other. Cornerbacks, yeah, we all knew that could be a problem. Mega exacerbated yesterday. Godwin's an all-pro. Evans is an all-pro who's going to the Hall of Fame. And they had their way. There's just too many times that they are in man coverage. And, like, you can't not play man. I mean, I guess you could, but you have to then try to guard them in zone. And sometimes when you're in zones, you have to kind of latch on to guys and actually, you know, cover them. And there was, in both man and zone situations yesterday, where Chris Godwin was just better than Mike Sainer still, where Mike Evans was better than Benjamin St. Juice, where both of them were better than Emmanuel Forbes, where Jalen McMillan was able to manipulate space and coverage, and guys like Quan Martin are lost a little bit. Jeremy Chinn not necessarily covering the amount of ground. Like, Chinn was pretty quiet yesterday. So from the DBs, but specifically the CBs standpoint, I knew that it was going to be a trouble. I'm only judging them so much on yesterday, but I want to talk about Forbes and St. Juice separately in a moment. But it, ultimately, young talent, worth finding out if they were any good when they inherited them, because you weren't going to be able to get really good outside corners in free agency to sign here or take them with the draft picks, because you had to spend those draft picks in other places. Same was true in wide receiver. I think they needed more from not Terry McLaurin yesterday. And yet, I don't really fault Adam Peters for the state of the wide receiver room, because Jahan Dotson was supposed to be a part of it. And when Jahan Dotson didn't play well in training camp, they were like, oh, crap. Well, this sucks. Let's trade him and make sure we get a pick that we can use to maybe replace him next year. But what are they supposed to do? And you can be like, trade for Brandon Ayuk. And I would tell you, you're drunk. That wasn't on the table. So, they anticipated two first-round picks being the head of their receiving room. One of them wasn't very good. It's not their fault. They didn't draft him. They got draft capital for him. So, some of this stuff, you know, and then the last, I would say some of the stuff you could anticipate. And then the last thing that I would say you could have anticipated is real life harder than fake life, a.k.a. Jaden Daniels having to read a real Todd Bowles defense versus the vanilla stuff that he got to read in the preseason, very different. And I will tell you, I want more preseason reps for this team next year. And yes, you are allowed to remind me of that if I say otherwise next August. Okay, let's do it. Let's talk about Emmanuel Forbes.
Number five.
If I were to say I'm not giving up on Emmanuel Forbes based off this performance, you're going to ultimately get mad at me and not listen to anything else I say. I'm going to ask you to listen to everything else I say, because I'm not giving up on Emmanuel Forbes after this one performance, but he's got about a 1 week more leash. Because before the double penalty play, the play that ultimately gets him benched, now there might have also been an injury situation apparently, but what he did not play again after the big play where Jalen McMillan ran into him and he got the face mask and the PI. That was Emmanuel Forbes' last play, and whether he was benched or injured doesn't really matter. Before that play happened, I wrote down in my notes, he's not playing hard enough. That's a deal breaker. That's a no-no. You can't. It's one thing to get beat. It's one thing on technique. And there's a couple plays in the game where, like, he's right where he's supposed to be. And, you know, guys make good plays. And you know, even the kind of short passes that they're willing to give up because, hey, we just don't want to get beat deep on the explosive stuff. Fine. Okay. But you can't not put your body in there in the run game. You can't kind of let the tackle come to you. No, you go hit somebody. You can't not be physical enough at the point of attack. Like, there's some stuff in this game where Emmanuel Forbes does not stick his nose in and get stuck in the way that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and Joe Witt Jr. and Tommy Donatell and the staff up and down, the coaching staff to the front office, expect you to play to be a Washington Commander in 2024 and moving forward. And if that's not going to happen, you got 1 week to turn it around. And if you're not going to turn it around, you're going to be on the bench or you're going to be on another team. And so when I say I'm not willing to give up on Emmanuel Forbes after one bad week, he started camp poorly and he turned it around and he really played well late. So if he had an off day yesterday, he wasn't feeling right, whatever. I'm giving you one more do-over. And then we got to have a talk. And I realize for some of you, he's 17 games last year. Last year doesn't count. Last year was as poorly managed of a rookie season for a first rounder as you can get. That position was horrendously coached. His confidence was shot. And by the way, that carried over to this game. And that's something they're realistically going to have to deal with. They're going to have to find a way to reach him and be like, hey, dude, you're good. Go be good. Because you could see him on some of the stuff where he gets beat, where he just starts to hang his head and his body language is terrible. And you're just like, man, that doesn't work at that position. You have to have the memory of a goldfish. And so for Forbes, yes, there's bad technique. Yes, there's bad mental mistakes. Yes, there's bad whatever technical stuff that we can talk about with many corners across the NFL. But it's the effort and the attitude and the approach that need to get fixed. Otherwise, he is not going to be long for here. And that stuff that I had down in my notes before the big penalty where all that stuff came together in cataclysmic disaster.
Number six.
Benjamin St. Juice is a different story. He was stuck in. He was competing his face off. He just didn't do the right stuff. Unfortunately, that's been a bit of a habit for Benjamin throughout his career. But again, if he can understand it and fix it and it gets better week over week and he's not getting punished to the level that you get punished when you make those kind of mistakes against Mike Evans, future Hall of Famer, well, there might be a salvageable player there because eventually, hopefully, he's not CB1, he's CB2. And I thought this from Dan Quinn was super interesting, kind of on that ability to go, hey, what's lost here? What's got messed up here? And I do think the contrast he's drawing, even though he won't say it, I will, is the way Benjamin got beat versus the way Forbes got beat.
Yeah, we just rotated people around. And I think like it comes from a place of competing and knowing how to and knowing when to make the right decisions into those spaces. And so that's what we'll work on. Technique wise, you know, like usually you ask a player, what'd you see? And if they know how to correct it already, then you're in a good spot. And that was Ben on the first touchdown to Evans. I need to turn the other way. I need to look, okay, you got it. If you ask a player, and I don't know, that's a bigger concern. And so those guys know the things they need to work on, and that's why it did sting. And there's a lot for us to work on. But third downs, Nicky, I would say collectively defensive. I wouldn't put it on one versus the other.
But you hear him say, oh, we asked Ben. He's got it. He knows what he needs to do. For instance, he turned the wrong way on that first touchdown to Evans. And I actually was watching the tape and I stopped and I was like, let me go listen to Quinn's press conference. I'm wondering if he was asked about this. And he said it. And I was like, that's what I thought. I love being right. But more importantly, right, BSJ is actually in good position, in good phase. He's where he's supposed to be, but he turns the wrong way. And that means he can't find the ball. On the second one, he actually is the right way. He tries to play through the hands and he just whips and he's got to actually make a play. Again, finish. That's what he's got to do. But you can live with that. And if you do not finish perfectly against not Mike Evans, the consequences aren't so severe. Forbes, however, it feels like they asked him, hey, man, what do you got to do? What's wrong? And he was like, I don't know, man. And well, that's why he didn't play anymore.
Number seven.
I can't believe it took us to number seven to get to Jaden Daniels, but it took us to number seven to get to Jaden Daniels. The first half was much more scramble-filled than the second half. And of those scrambles, I had five marked down in the first half. I would say definitely three, if not four of them, were actually the correct decision by Jaden. Coverage was there, pressure was coming, some combination of those, two of those. Wiley got beat inside. He was pretty good the rest of the game, but he got beat on two in the first half, and Jaden has to get out immediately. There's a couple other ones where it's like, okay, you can get out here, but you could also check it down later in the down, like let's escape to pass. And then in the second half, different story. Second half was a completely different offensive, like, structure, everything. And I felt like he missed a couple of big opportunities. And that's a little more worrisome. But also, again, it's a rookie quarterback trying to figure out Todd Bowles' defense. And he got flushed a bunch in the first half. So he's probably a little bit trigger shy slash scramble happy. So I think that he has, obviously, tremendous ability. We see the athleticism. He turns negative plays into explosive plays. That alone is an invaluable skill as a scrambler, but clearly he's got to be able to do it better from the pocket. I do think that what he'll see next week and moving forward for most of this season will be far easier to do that against than a Todd Bowles defense in your first start.
Number 8.
Terry's day, I'm sure that we're going to get some talk about Terry and Tell the Truth Monday. Here's the truth about Terry McLaurin. He very easily could have had 5 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns yesterday. Jaden missed him on the obvious one on the first play of the second half. He just overthrows him. That's a 70-yard touchdown. There's another, like, 65-yarder that Terry is screaming wide open. Jaden's looking right at him, and I have no idea why he does not throw that football. It's a dagger, and he wins, and I don't know. There's a couple other targets in the game that are well designed for Terry, and Tampa was basically like, there is no way in hell that dude is beating us on this play. So I actually didn't hate the Terry plan, although I would have liked to see a few more force feeds to Terry, a jet sweep, a screen, and I would like to see that happen early in the game because he's a tone setter. That said,
number 9,
I think Cliff Kingsbury's not asleep at the wheel. I saw adjustments. I saw stuff that made sense. I saw stuff that made me happy. Yaya Dubin's giving everybody hell in the first half. So let's go make sure that we have a tight end or a back to go chip him. One of the first big plays in the second half, Austin Eckler gets one hell of a shoulder into Yaya Dubin on a chip. Throws off his whole rush. I love that. Let's be smart with our protection. Let's try to get the ball out a little bit quicker. Let's use our quarterback run game. And if you want to talk about an offensive coordinator that's trying to give you a freaking spark, in the first drive of the third quarter, the first play, they go deep to Terry. They did the direct snap where Jaden lined up and shotgun over the guard, try to create an explosive run. They threw the ball deep to Terry again, and they had that throwback play where Luke McCaffrey should have thrown it back to Jaden Daniels and decided for whatever reason not to. If he throws it back to Jaden, that thing's probably a house call because there is like $3 on that side of the field and about 5 Commanders blockers. That was, it had to be a lateral because it was a forward pass, but that's how the play was set up. Man, that sucks. But Cliff was trying. Cliff was in his bag, and they just couldn't generate the explosives, in part because the players didn't execute. It's not Cliff's fault Terry overthrew or got overthrown. So I like the fact that we have an offensive coordinator who's, you know, awake.
Number 10.
And then last but not least, this we'll have to get into more later because we're over time, but there's a lack of cohesion defensively, both in coverage and communication and in how they're playing pass rush lanes and rush lanes up front. They have got to get that cleaned up and just be smarter. Like if you're a Daron Payne and you're a defensive tackle and you have a defensive end next to you that is playing a wide split, like he's way outside where the tight end would be, you can't jump inside on a run. That gap is way too big, and that happened multiple times for big plays for the Bucs. So it's those types of details that you got to get locked in, cut down on some of the freelancing on defense, and then obviously the communication and cohesion on the back end that we're going to have to talk about a lot more as the week goes. All right, that's our first and 10. Up next, you. It's time for Tell the Truth Monday at 301-230-0980. We take your calls on what you think the truth from the game was next on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. I'll pull up the chat in a second as you guys can get in on the stream on Tell the Truth Monday. Yes, that's right. Tell the Truth Monday, where you tell the truth about the Commanders' performance on Sunday. Obviously not good on the score sheet. Big old loss to the Bucks. I gave you my first and 10, but let's see what you got on the phone lines at 301-230-0980. Bird, you got the first ever word on Tell the Truth Monday. Get us going on the Team 980 listener line.
You ain't never seen him do it. You ain't never seen Terry do it.
Is that English?
So what we're going to do is keep going to try 6 years, hoping that this dude's the
If you're going to call the show, and you're going to be the first ever to do a segment, can you get a, like a, Anthony, what are we doing on the phone connection there? What are we doing with English language? I could not understand. Was it that me? Is my headphones
bad? So I think he was on hold, and he was talking to someone, and he didn't realize he actually was on now.
If that's how this segment's going to go, then we're never doing it again. I have faith that we can do better than that. Let's try again. It's Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show, where you call in and you tell us the truth about the game. All right, let's go to Jason in Omaha. Jason, tell us the truth about what you saw yesterday when the Commanders took on the Bucs.
Kingsbury has the lack of identity so far. That's the truth for me. I know you say you don't think he's sleeping at the wheel, but I don't know. It seemed like their plan wasn't sound to begin with, and they're running QB powers in the middle of the field instead of running that stuff closer to the goal line and stuff like that. It just seems like they didn't have a plan.
I would say that's
you've been working on this.
That's part of the plan, Jason, is to use the running quarterback to run. Let's try this again. Let's try. Is it Ba? You might be our last chance. That's some energy and a clear phone line. All right. Tell the truth about what we saw in Commanders and Bucks.
I'm going to tell you something clear. Mr. Craig, first of all, I'm not happy about your turn. I'm going to put it like that. There is some point I don't agree. I already told Anthony. First of all, I'm an original call. I was calling when John Thompson was sitting on the table. The rape coach, let me get back to this thing. Let's be clear. I'm putting it on the feet of DQ and Peters. You kidding me? Hoffman, you just say you got the best offensive coordinator or whatever. This offensive coordinator don't know what the hell he was doing. We played the whole first half. The receivers got 0 yards. Are you kidding me? We got Baker Mayfield taking us to school. You're telling me I was expecting something from DQ. And you know what I want you to do, Craig? You got to stop blaming the players. I want to see the coach what they can do. Stop blaming the players. The young ain't going to be all
Bob,
right.
Let me ask you a question. Who plays?
Go ahead, bro. I'm listening.
Who plays?
The players.
Okay, thank you. Next call. Let's go to Ron. Ron, you have promised to use complete sentences. Please tell the truth on this Monday before I bag this segment forever, which should be a great radio segment because the title was made for it, and yet this is what we've dealt with so far. Ron, complete sentences. Please save us.
Craig, I love your analytical nature. I appreciate – there's not much I could add because you hit the nail on the head with everything. But I think at some point the administration of the team has to come to the fan base and say, this is a rebuilding. We're in a rebuilding mode. We don't have the players to compete for a championship, even with Jaden. We don't. I don't want to see my million-dollar quarterback running around like that for 80 yards because he's going to get hurt. Or you might just end up having a career-ending injury. I've seen that show. It happened in 2012, right? So what I want to see is I want to see them rebuild with the draft from good old-fashioned defense. They need a pass rusher. And those boys in the backfield that still don't know where they're going, sorry, they've had enough time. We'll give them this year, and then they're all gone.
Ron, I got no problem with that, and I appreciate the call. We have a ton of people calling in, so I'm gonna cut you off there. But sure. I appreciate the call, and I don't disagree with you. Like, if I'm Adam Peters, I'm calling someone at some point. You know, let's see how they go the first couple weeks of the season. But like, if this is not going well by week four, I'm calling someone and being like, look, we're on background. This is not on the record, because at the end of the day, it's not on the coach to be like, hey, we're in a rebuilding year. He's got to get in that locker room and motivate those guys every single day. Because while, yes, the collective of them is not going to win 10 football games, I'm pretty sure, this year, certainly if they play like they just did, he's got to figure out who is a part of what they want to do moving forward. And there might be some guys that they didn't expect, and if they don't get the best out of everyone, they can't make those types of evaluations. But if I'm and I want my head coach lost in that, right? Like, I want my head coach thinking he's taking the field every single week to win. If I'm the general manager of the team, do at some point I make a call to a reporter and go, hey, just so we're clear, this is a rebuild, and we got a long way to go. And, like, make sure that I'm controlling that temperature to a point, and trying to, I don't want to say manipulate the media, but, like, be very clear-eyed to the media, thus making sure that the media is clear-eyed about what they are covering. Hell yeah, I'm making that call. Because Ron's absolutely right. They need pass rushers. That was very apparent yesterday. Pass rush win rate is one thing. The ability to finish and get sacks is another. Like, that is a production position typically, and they don't have dudes that have done that at a high level, and it showed up yesterday. I will also say Tampa's offensive line is really, really good. And that's probably something that we should have talked about more last week. Like, they were good last year and got better, both through addition and internal improvement. They also upgraded schematically to make their lives easier because Liam Cohn's good at his job, their offensive coordinator. And so all that stuff comes together yesterday, along with the bad corners, to say, like, yeah, we've identified some things that are next year problems, off-season problems. But what I haven't heard yet is an actual cohesive plan from anyone on how that stuff was supposed to get done this off-season, because it doesn't exist. They used their high draft capital in other places, which was perfectly reasonable. They used their third-round pick on an offensive tackle. We'll see how that goes. If it doesn't go well, they'll use their first-rounder probably next year. They'll draft a bunch of corners. But they can't make free agents sign here. And so, say, you should have signed whoever. You can't make them. They're free agents, and this team was not going to be a contender. And in terms of drafting, they weren't going to get guys who can impact day one, because that's not how the league works. Look at rookies across the league at multiple positions. They struggle. That's how rookies work. It's a young, inexperienced football team for the players that'll be here long term, and guys that other teams didn't want to re-sign for the vets. This is going to be the result sometimes of that. All right, we got full phone lines. Tell the Truth Monday continues next on The Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. All right, let's get back to the phones. Tell the Truth Monday, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Aubrey. Aubrey, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Go ahead, tell us the truth about what you thought from yesterday. Aubrey? Good gracious. Let's go to Robert. Robert, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Ooh, good Lord. This has been brutal. How you doing, Craig?
I was doing better 10 minutes ago, Aubrey, if I'm telling you the total truth, but that's what we're doing here. It's Tell the Truth Monday. But you sound coherent, good, and you have a good connection. So go, fire away.
Let's make it happen, man. So during the Ron Rivera era, we had a problem with the secondary not being able to cover anybody, and we didn't have a pass rush, and the offensive line and the offense was putrid. What has Adam Peters improved this year during the offseason? The truth of the matter is, if Ron Rivera would have done something like cut Johan Dotson and sign a wide receiver that was not active for day one, we would be killing him right now. This man had a plethora of draft picks. He had a lot of salary cap space, and he did less with more. He signed a middle linebacker, Wagner, who's getting slower by the day. Nobody has made an improvement. Now, Jaden Daniels, someone will say, well, he got a quarterback. Any team without a general manager who was picking number two would have picked Jaden Daniels. It was going to go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. You get no credit or love for that. But everything else, you've done absolutely nothing. Now, a year from now, I might call up and be the biggest fool in D.C. because we're winning championships and playoffs. But right now, what Adam Peters has done, he does not deserve anything because he has not improved one area. And by the way, we're on our 12th field goal kicker, and we're not even into week two. Same thing that happened in Ron Rivera era. So that's the truth of the matter, that we're still in the same place besides the quarterback, which is a huge example. I get it. But still, the rest of the team.
So, Robert, here's my thing. Like, I actually, on a baseline level, don't disagree with a lot of what you said. I just think that the context is really, really important, which is they're not trying to take shortcuts to be good this year. They don't care if they're good this year. They care if they're good in 3 years, because the chances of winning a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback are slim to none. So you take the best players That's available, fair. Knowing that you're going to turn over your roster. Like, they turned over 60% of the roster. It's more than anyone else in the league.
Craig, can I respectfully counter?
Of course.
All of that is true. However, when you come out from a PR standpoint, when you come out and sell us that it's a new day, when you come out and tell us that we're making improvements, then that, as a fan, all of us work full-time jobs. I mean, you have the ability, because of the industry that you're in, to go inside and look at film. I don't. I have to take the word of the people that I'm listening to, and all of us were told that this was a new day. If we would have been told, hey, guys, we're getting a quarterback, but we have to scrap this roster, it's going to be a couple of years, we're smart fans, we would have said, okay.
Well, Robert, here would be my counter to your counter. Who else you been listening to? Because that's what I've said all along.
Okay, hey, well, you know what? Again, brother, actually this year I took on I got a big promotion, so it's been hard for me to listen during the day. I actually took today off, so this is my first time I've been able to listen to you and call in at the same time.
One, I need you to take off work and call more often, because I enjoy your calls. Two, we have a podcast, Robert. There's no excuses. If you want it to change, you got to be the change you want to see in the world, Robert. We got a podcast for you. We're on demand anytime you want on your schedule. But here's what I would say to the substance of your point. When you are as bad as they were last year, and when the goal is to build through the draft, and you're going to get blue chip guys through the draft, it's going to take multiple drafts. Because by nature, and by the way, even if they got multiple blue chip guys in this draft, let's say Jerzon Newton, who didn't even play yesterday, turns into a blue chipper. Let's say Sainer still turns into a blue chipper. Let's say Jaden turns into a blue chipper. That's awesome, but it's going to take multiple years because they're young, and that is the nature of the league. So I hear you, and it's going to be ugly early. I'm not saying that you're wrong in what you saw yesterday, but I would tell you what you saw yesterday is because the mess that was made before Adam Peters got here has still not been cleaned up yet, because it was too big of a mess to clean up in 1 year.
Yes, sir.
That would be my retort.
And the last thing I'll say, Craig, because I know you got to take other callers, I am hoping that I'm wrong. You understand that. I'm not happy about that. But I wasn't upset yesterday, because this is kind of what I expected. But hail to the Commanders. Let's keep it going, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it, Robert. And listen to that podcast. It's available in your feed whenever you want it. All right. That's Robert with us, taking the day off from work, calling in. We love that. Let's go to Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Tell the truth Monday time. Tell the truth.
Man, Craig, I was sitting here like, ooh, pick me, because the guy before you, he was going to make a point, and I wanted to counter with that. So, one, don't kill the segment. Just choose better people. Here we go. Listen, he was talking about people that have employment and work jobs right now, right? So let's say this. If I came to you at your job, who's ever listening right now, I'm posing this to you. If I came to you at your job and said, I'm going to bring in a new person, and they're going to do the job today. Brand new. They've never worked here before. No experience. You got experience. I'm going to bring them in here, and they're going to do the job. What do you expect out of them, opposed to you who have experience? You probably don't think their performance is going to be that good, right? This team just flipped over what? Like you said, 60% of the players, new coaches, new ownership, new everybody. What did we expect? Like, I looked at different teams play yesterday. Detroit. That team's largely a team that's been together. They were, a high-caliber team. It took them a very, very long time to rebuild that. But then coming back in week one of this year, they look great and prepared, because those guys are pretty much been playing together. The coaching has pretty much been the same. It's well-oiled. Kansas City, another one. You know, that's what you expect with experience, with people who have been there. This is a stopgap year for the Commanders, people. Repeat after me. Stopgap. It's new coaching, new players. They have to get this scheme together. Now, I will say, the way the interior of our defensive line got ate up, I didn't like that. I really thought St. Juice and Forbes, they are who we thought they are. They're going to get ate up by a Mike Evans people. That's going to happen to them. That's going to happen to people. And I really wish I think Ron Rivera was probably a Cowboys fan low-key to pick Forbes over Christian. Because
Yeah, that's a rough one. Terrell, I got to let you run, but great points because we got a bunch of more calls. But I appreciate it. And I will say, too, I think a lot of the specific problems in yesterday's game, some of the big plays are because of a lack of cohesion. It was the last point I got to in first and 10. I didn't have enough time to make it in the fullness that I wanted to because I yapped too long on other stuff. But like learning how to play next to the guy next to you is a really important skill, and learning how to play within the scheme and understanding where the strengths and weaknesses are and where to take your chances, where I need to be a little bit more conservative. Like, this was the first time they all got to do this. There's no cohesion here. So again, if you want to say, hey, I think they should have played a little more in the preseason, I'll hear you on that because I think they should have played a little more in the preseason. But that still is only going to move the needle so much. Against a Tampa team, by the way, Baker knows this scheme. He's played with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin for a bunch of years. Defensively, they've had the same infrastructure in place for a lot of years. Guys like Levante David and Vita Vea, Antoine Winfield up the spine of that defense. So you had a team that had cohesion and talent against a team that lacks talent and has zero cohesion. That's what happened yesterday. Anthony, which line number should we go to for our final call? We got 1, 2, 3, or 8. We got 1, 2, or 3. Eight hung up.
I will go 3.
3. All right. Doug in Richmond, you get to wrap us up. Tell the truth Monday. What you got?
Appreciate you taking my call, Craig. I was really hoping that you wouldn't end it so soon when you got fired up earlier. But anyways, yeah, I think a lot of fans just kind of lost the grasp of that this Bucks team was a few snaps away from being in the NFC Championship game. And the fact that we got beat the way we did is like a big surprise to everyone. Now, I will say I am really surprised those interior D-linemen, like they said, like the guys that came over with St. Juice and all that. But like on a baseline level, like this was a playoff team. And we have to understand that this is a new identity that needs to be established. Just a lot of newness across the board. So I'm not too worried. Like the whole getting on the ownership and fire AP, fire DQ, it's ridiculous. Like,
yeah, no, I hope that more fans can understand that. Hey, Doug, got to run because we're up against the break. I appreciate the call. I just want to respond to one comment in the YouTube section or the comment section real quick. Brian T. Beal says, playing with an aggressive approach doesn't need cohesion. Yeah, it does. Because when two guys don't communicate and they jump the same route and they leave Jalen McMillan wide open up the sideline, your aggression didn't pay off because you lacked cohesion. So, yeah, it does. And it also, because if you're confident in the cohesion, you know what the guy next to you is going to do, you can full send to the thing that you want to do. Now, again, their play style yesterday, the aggressive physical nature they wanted to do, there is a lot of examples of just that guy needs to go harder right here. They need to be more aggressive to the ball. They need to do a lot of that stuff. But that stuff also comes with the comfort of knowing exactly what you're doing and playing confidently. And it's very clear this unit does not have that yet. And sometimes even playing with that, you know, again, the aggression but not the cohesion means Deron Payne jumps inside and leaves the B gap wide open for a 15-yard rush. Something else that happened yesterday, aggression, lack of cohesion. If you're going to jump inside, you better do it knowing that someone's got your back in the B gap. All right. When we get back, Michael Phillips joins us for his Monday visit on Not My Beat on the Team 980.